Hello, this is your Polycast for Wednesday, June 15th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, some legislators are concerned they have little to run on for re-election, and St. Cloud mourns the loss of Earl Potter. Governor Mark Dayton and top legislative leaders are scheduled to meet privately again today to talk about a potential special session this month to pass a tax bill and a bonding bill. If they can't reach an agreement, those unresolved issues could loom large in this year's House and Senate election races. All 201 legislative seats are on the ballot, and incumbents still don't know how many accomplishments they have to run on. Tim Pugmire talked to some of them and filed this report.
Lawmakers adjourned the 2016 regular session last month without a transportation funding bill or a bonding bill. They later lost a popular package of tax cuts when Governor Dayton vetoed the bill over a potentially expensive error. Many legislators, especially those running for re-election in competitive districts, aren't satisfied with where things currently stand.
It's not going to be easy to go back into an election year knowing that you were part of a process that wasn't very good.
First-term Republican Representative Dave Baker of Willmar is among those hoping for a special session to revisit the tax bill and the bonding bill. He's counting on a package of public construction projects that includes funding for Highway 23 upgrades and other projects important to his district. Baker's re-election bid is a rematch of the 2014 race when he defeated a DFL incumbent. But with the prospect of more legislative work looming, Baker said he has not yet switched into campaign mode.
I am not going to knock on a single door to tell him what we did or didn't do because I don't really think I'm done yet. I still think the session is active. I want to be able to go to the doors when I know the work is actually done.
The story is similar for DFL Senator Lyle Coonan of Clara City, who is also facing a potentially competitive contest in November. Coonan is hoping for a special session, and he knows there's no escaping voters if one doesn't happen.
This is the election year. We're going to campaign no matter what. And, my message can just be that I'm willing to compromise, and, then that's all I can do. I have one vote, and I'm willing to vote for a compromise.
Coonan said he's been in four parades this summer, and so far the comments have been positive. He said he takes that as a good sign. In St. Cloud, Republican Representative Jim Knobloch has been knocking on doors to make his pitch for re-election. He's also in a rematch against the DFL incumbent he defeated in 2014. Knobloch, who chairs the House Ways and Means Committee, said he has an answer ready when constituents complain about the way the regular session ended.
There were four big finance bills this year, and the one that I was the author of was the only one that actually passed both houses, was signed by the governor, and became law. So, the bill that I was most responsible for actually did come through and did happen.
Knobloch said he's open to a special session but doesn't believe one is absolutely necessary. He said he's concerned about Governor Dayton's long list of demands for calling a special session, including funding for Metro Light Rail. House Republicans oppose the provision, while Senate Democrats insist on its inclusion. DFL Senator Matt Schmidt of Red Wing said a lot of work went into the tax bill and bonding bill. He said it would be a shame not to try to resolve them in a special session. But Schmidt said voters seem to understand the difficulty of reaching a deal.
People I've been talking to would really like us to go back in there and try to hammer out an agreement. And if an agreement can't be made, I think folks understand, divided or shared government as we have it, where power shared between Democrats and Republicans is not easy.
Schmidt said he's running on the accomplishments of 4 years in office, including efforts to stabilize the state budget. He said he doesn't want any politically convenient decisions for a special session to jeopardize that stability. Covering politics, I'm Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News.
A state economic development agency has approved a $36 million subsidy package designed to lure a major siding plant to the Iron Range. The company involved had been kept confidential up until now. Dan Crocker has more.
The Iron Range Resources and Rehabilitation Board unanimously backed the funding to help prepare a site on the range for Louisiana Pacific and to grant the company a sales tax exemption. That's on top of a $3 million annual incentive approved by the state legislature for up to 10 years. The plant would employ around 250 people and create an estimated 500 to 600 jobs for loggers and truckers. Steve Peterson with the IRRB says the company would have to pay the state back if it fails to build the plant.
We don't want to put a bunch of money into infrastructure and a site and then not have the company move forward.
Louisiana Pacific will decide next month whether to proceed with planning in Minnesota, although a final decision on the project won't occur until early next year. Dan Crocker, Minnesota Public Radio News, Duluth.
St. Cloud State University faculty, staff, students, and alumni are trying to come to terms with the sudden death of the school's president, Earl Potter. As we mentioned yesterday, Potter's life ended Monday afternoon in the Twin Cities suburb of Brooklyn Park. The state patrol says Potter's vehicle rolled after hitting a guardrail on Interstate 694. Mark Zedeklik visited the SCSU campus yesterday and has this report.
Flags flew at half staff on the campus of St. Cloud State University in honor of Earl Potter. 28-year-old Waleed Issa was shaking his head and weeping as he walked away from a news conference about the tragedy.
It's a hard day for everybody.
Issa, an immigrant from the Middle East, said he had a close relationship with President Potter that included Potter's help settling an unpaid tuition bill in 2012.
Dr. Potter paid it from his own pocket to support my journey.
Issa earned undergraduate and postgraduate degrees in economics from St. Cloud State. He said his life would be much different had he not crossed paths with Potter.
I was born in refugee camp. I came here in 2009. Without the generosity and the support of Dr. Potter, I would not have graduated from college.
During the news conference at St. Cloud State University, Student Senate President Michaela Johnson tearfully read a statement from President Potter's family.
President Potter came to St. Cloud State because he felt this is the type of place he could make a difference. He was incredibly proud of St. Cloud State University and its students, faculty, and staff. And he was likewise proud of the greater St. Cloud community.
Potter, who was 69, had been president of SCSU since 2007 after working at several other universities around the country. Minnesota State Colleges and Universities Chancellor Stephen Rosenstone called Potter a colleague and a friend and said he was thoughtful, insightful, and cared deeply about SCSU, its students, and the St. Cloud community.
Earl's passing is a huge loss to St. Cloud State University. It's a loss to the state of Minnesota, and it's a loss to higher education. He was a highly respected leader.
Rosenstone and others heaped praise on Potter for his efforts to make SCSU an affordable and welcoming place for everyone.
He was unwavering in his commitment to equity and access and diversity. And it's not always an easy commitment to make.
Rosenstone appointed SCSU Provost Ashish Vaidya acting president and said he'll ask the Minsku Board of Trustees to name Vaidya interim president at its meeting next week. St. Cloud Mayor Dave Kleiss credited Potter with forging strong ties between the university and the community.
The connection between St. Cloud State University and the city of St. Cloud has never been stronger, and that's because of his leadership. A true measure of the leadership is that impact that will be sustained because it wasn't a top-down approach.
Kleiss also underscored the former Coast Guard member's efforts to help veterans on campus. Back outside, the assistant director of the SCSU Women's Center, Lee Ledoux, said Potter's death is going to be tough on the many students he personally connected with. Going forward, she predicted she and her colleagues will build on Potter's legacy of inclusion.
I think part of being a good leader is recognizing you're not the only one carrying that forward, and I think everyone here knew and recognized that that was important to him, and so all of us will carry that on.
Potter was on his way to a dinner to discuss fundraising. The state patrol says his SUV left the road and hit a guardrail. The patrol says Potter overcorrected, causing the vehicle to flip multiple times and strike some cable barriers. The patrol is still investigating the crash. Mark Zedeklik, Minnesota Public Radio News, St. Cloud.
And that's your Polycast for this Wednesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.